Let me ask you about some budget issues. I was looking at your record versus others and some of the material your office provided me. It's from the Department of Budget Management. Spending growth under your administration has averaged 2%. Under Bob Ehrlich, it was 7.5%. Paris Glendening, 5%. I hear from your critics that, and they will ask, you haven't cut spending. But you consider these cuts, is that...
I don't know. We have. I don't know what to tell those that continue to cling to the falsehood and the fantasy that we haven't cut spending. The truth is that we have. We have a bond rating, a AAA bond rating that's been affirmed by Moody's, Standard & Poor's, Fitch. And if you read their summaries, they will tell you that we have cut spending, that we have constrained spending. We have had the smallest average annual spending growth in our general fund of any administration in modern times. So we've also reduced the size of government. I mean, we've eliminated 5,700 positions. The size of our state government, executive branch, not judges or legislature, but executive branch, the bulk of it, is actually smaller on a per capita basis now than it has been at any time since 1973. And yet we've also pulled together the consensus to protect our children's education, to become recognized by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as the number one state for innovation and entrepreneurship. So you have to do two things at the same time in order to get through a recession of this depth. You have to cut, but you also have to be willing to protect the investments and the priorities that allow us to create jobs and create better opportunities for our children. In some cases, all of us are paying a little more. The 1% increase in the sales tax. Recently, you know, we had our transportation funding capped since 1992. Now each of us will be paying a couple cents more at the pumps, but all of this is what's required in order to have a balanced approach that is not only fiscally responsible, but that creates jobs, grows our economy, and hopefully gets us back on track to growing our middle class with stronger wages and higher standards of living for all of our people.
I'll talk about the gas tax in just a second. Overall, while jobs have been eliminated, the size of government still has grown because of that 2%, that average 2% growth. Is that correct? Is it correct to say that?
Well, when you say size, if you measure size
government
in
spending.
Terms of...
Measure size in terms of employees, it hasn't because those jobs have been eliminated. But state spending has grown.
By 2% average annual, yes, which is about... one-third of what the average annual spending growth was under Bob Ehrlich, and is about one-sixth of what it was under Governor Mandel.
Okay. Let me ask about the gas tax. People are going to complain about it, and they're going to continue to complain about it. When will they start noticing that, yes, this is worth it, when they see, okay, yes, I'm paying extra gas, but I'm going to get more out of it?
This is a slow phase-in. The legislature wanted to make sure in this time of economic recovery, and we have recovered 95% of the jobs we lost during the Bush recession, but it is still a struggle every day. So the legislature wanted to make sure that the transportation funding revenues were phased in over a longer period of time. So if anyone's going to notice an impact, it will be later on this year. And frankly,
are you going to start seeing projects, you know, come fall or next year?
Well, you will see a lot of projects that will be going on that otherwise perhaps might not have even been started if we had left that cap on funding in place. People will see some projects happening over the course of the next couple years, but it'll be a gradual thing. Look, Rob, we didn't get the worst traffic in the nation overnight. That was something that started happening back when we capped transportation funding in 1992, effectively. And as a result, we now have the worst traffic congestion in the country. I wish there were some way we could just flick a switch and totally turn around that situation. We can't do it overnight, but steadily we'll be able to start making the improvements in mass transit as well as roads that will allow us to alleviate the traffic congestion, which now robs us. I mean, every family now is losing in the Baltimore area about $1,700 a year.
And you also have people who will sometimes call mega commuters. The Census Bureau calls them. People commute 100 miles one way to work. I mean, some of them may live in Maryland and work in D.C.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that. There's some people who, in order to find a job in their profession, jump on trains and go up to Philadelphia or New York or other places. But the point I was going to make is look, we're already paying a price. All of us are paying a price for this traffic congestion. And by some estimates, families in the Baltimore area lose about $1,700 a year. Why? Because they're sitting in traffic, wasting gasoline in traffic, wasting time in traffic that they could be spending more productively at work. And so if we want better results, we have to make better choices. The equivalent of about a cup of coffee a month is what most families will be paying in order to allow our state to turn around what otherwise would be an ever-worsening and even more costly situation of greater and greater traffic congestion.